December 28. The Language of the Spirit and the Bride. 2. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Revelation 22, verse 17. Read Revelation 22, verse 6 through 12. It is only a matter of faith that the Church prays for the great coming. By that faith, the origin of its speaking always distances itself from what can be seen or heard. And only by that faith do I know that today, one of the last days of the year of our Lord, 2012, the Bride calls, that she calls with the Spirit, that she calls for the coming, and that this nearly past year was thus a year of our Lord. In this I have no business to ask if I can perceive that calling out, in order to establish afterwards, on the basis of this perception, that the Bride indeed is calling, or also in how far she calls. For this calling out is for me a fact. Even if I would not see a single believer in the Church, even if I would not meet a single man who prays, who on the last evening of the year would turn himself to the great shepherd of the sheep. Just as I believe God, whom I have not seen, only thus do I believe that the Spirit and the Bride call out what I do not hear. And only when I believe will I hear. I hear this calling today, December 28, 2012, after Christ, as alas the secular historian has taught us to express it. Thus, I have here, in that word, the text, the canon, which God really hears on New Year's Eve. For he always hears the Spirit. He also always hears the Bride of his exalted Son. God does not listen if that prayer still is voiced on New Year's Eve. For that little word, still, is very fatal here in this foolish sentence. If it was still an open question in the presence of heaven or hell, of angel or Satan, of world or church, objectively spoken, if the Bride indeed is praying with the Spirit for the great coming, then heaven and the council and actions of God himself are made disputable. But heaven does not doubt it. Just as little as it makes the coming of Christ disputable, will it make the prayer for that coming disputable. For in and by that prayer, he comes himself, the bridegroom, the king. This coming can never be separated from the prayer for the coming. Thus God hears the prayer, for the Spirit exists always, and so does the Church, according to her own confession. And in that prayer, which heaven hears, all the world finds rest. For this prayer is so positive. It does not say no, but yes. It does not say no to history, but yes to its crowning. It does not cry out perish to the world, but reach higher to its purified fullness. Nietzsche once thought to formulate the difference between petty-minded Christianity and its arrogant, yet not conceited, pride in these words: the pangs are calling out perish, but every desire wants eternity. Wants deep, deep eternity. But this was one of his great mistakes, for the Church is still present. She is different than he saw her. She is the Bride, and as Bride she does not say perish. She does not say to nature and culture, to world and beauty, that they should disappear. Instead she says something positive. She says, calls and prays, come. Come. She says this to the King of complete beauty. She says, come to the King of the world and to the world of that King. She does not say, let the day perish on which light began to shine, the night in which the will woefully was stirred, which to this world, born as dissatisfied fruit of mind, as a majestic temple of misery, gave birth. Instead, she reaches out with a pure and heartfelt love to the King of greatest beauty with her, come. This King, the most beautiful of all mankind, will complete culture, and fulfill time. To him who not only wanted the deep, deep eternity, but in addition time with it, and thus deepened that time by his eternity. Sing Psalm 90, stanza 2.